Well, our bishop has encouraged us to spend a whole month focusing intentionally on prayer. So this is the first message that I'll bring in a series of four messages on prayer, but I feel like a little bit inadequate, because as I look out at you, I see lots of prayer warriors in the room, many people who pray longer than me, harder than me, deeper than me, and probably more regularly and persistently than me. So forgive me, I come to you as a beggar. I am preaching from what I need to improve more. I'm preaching to myself more than any of you. But I think we all need to be encouraged to pray from time to time, especially when times are tough. I know sometimes when times are really tough, it's easy to go to the Lord in prayer. Other times, if the stress is overwhelming, it's hard to just to hear and to listen, because prayer is a two-way thing, isn't it? It's talking to God and listening. But today we're going to focus on the talking to God, the asking, the seeking, the knocking, which we've just heard about in Matthew chapter 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And what Matthew has written here is basically pray, continue to pray, pray some more, pray and pray and keep praying. In threefold, ask, seek, knock. Now we have to ask as if we're a beggar begging for bread, to come humbly before the Lord and in our desperation and our need and say, God, I don't have this and I need it, and you are the hand who can offer it to me. Can you please provide? Can I please? And God wants us to come to him and ask. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. And so we can come and ask like a beggar or like a traveller looking for directions. I remember when I went to Italy and all the people there spoke Italian, and I learnt a little bit in classes to prepare me for my travels. But once I was there and I couldn't find my way back to my hotel in Rome, and I had a map and I went up to locals and I said, please help me, I need to get here. And they would say, and it was starting to get dark. I even went up to a policeman and I said, please help me get back to my hotel. How do I get here? He goes, go down there, get on a bus. Where, what bus? It was horrible. After a while of praying desperately, I was getting nowhere. I thought, I'll sit down, I better have some dinner at a restaurant and just look at the map and study the map and try and work it out. And it was still hopeless. So eventually, it was really dark by this time. I was on the brink of tears and I found a hotel, not my hotel. And I walked into the receptionist and I said, please help me get to here. And she goes, it's easy. You're just at the next road across. And I just burst into tears because I was so desperate to find my way back to the hotel. I was frightened in a foreign country. And God wants us to come to him like that, asking desperately for directions, for what we need, for provision. And he answers. He says, ask and it will be given to you. We have to listen, don't we? We have to receive the answers too. He says, seek. Seek and you will find. Seek like a merchant looking for pearls. And when you find that pearl of greatest price, you hold on to it, don't you? And there's many parables Jesus told about seeking a lost coin. Just keep seeking it. Keep sweeping the floors until you find this lost coin. And seeking a lost sheep. Leaving the 199, you know they're in a good place. And going and seeking that lost one. He says, seek. Seek me. Seek what you need from me. And you'll find it. He will help us to find what we're looking for. He says, knock. Knock and the door will be open to you. And often we don't like to think that maybe God has a closed door and we have to knock on it to come in. But when we do, when that image, when we think about going to the door of God, and let's really honestly think about it, sin separates us from God. We could use that analogy that our sin is the door. And we do need to knock and say, hey, God, I want to say sorry for my sins. I need to receive your forgiveness. I want to come in and fellowship with you and sup with you and be with you. And of course, he'll open the door, won't he? But we have to be intentional. We have to knock on his door as if we're going to a visitor's house. We don't, a friend's house to visit. We don't knock on the door and run away. We don't knock on the door unless we really want to be with that person. And he's saying, come, be intentional, visit me, come, have companionship with me, have fellowship with me, converse with me. We need to be desired by God. So seek and knock. Those two things imply more than just asking. So asking is praying and asking. Seeking is an action, isn't it? You have to do something about it. I remember that man who was a vine dresser, and there was this barren fig tree, and Jesus said, oh, cut it down. You know, it's bearing no fruit, cut it down, in his parable. And the vine dresser said, no, give it one more year, and I'll dig around it, and I'll see if I can make it grow again, and then in a year, if it's no good, we'll cut it down then. See, he asked, no, please give me a year. He did something about it to act on that request. I'll dig around it and see if it can work. And so what this is saying is we don't just ask and expect God to magic it while we sit on our bottoms or don't work towards what we've asked for or don't act in faith or hope of what we've asked for. We have to actually live out what we've asked God and seek after that. It's an action. And knocking too. We have to keep knocking and pleading. I remember Hannah, she comes to mind. How many times did she go to the temple and pray, God, give me a child, give me a son, year after year, pleading and praying, knocking and knocking and knocking, until she finally got that son that she had pleaded for. And so we're encouraged by this few short verses just to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep coming to God and never ever give up. And we can come to God boldly as a child would their parent. Our Heavenly Father is so much kinder and gracious than any earthly father. And you might have had a great father, I don't know. He might have given you everything you asked. I'm sure he said no sometimes because that was in your best interests. And I think most earthly parents do the best they can for their children. They will say yes when they can, if they can give them what they ask for. They will say no when they can see that is not the best thing for the child. Don't play on the middle of the road. No, you can't go play on the middle of the road. That's not okay. Our Heavenly Father cares so much more about us than any earthly father ever could. And he gives even greater gifts to us. You know, even the worst parents, it says, even though you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It just brought to mind many, many moons ago, I was just ministering to a family who just did a lot of drugs and they weren't married and they had like 10 kids and they weren't great role models to their children. They, you know, committing adultery here or there. It was just a really unusual lifestyle. But they knew how to give good gifts to their children. They weren't giving a good gifts by example of living, but come Christmas time, their kids got more gifts under their Christmas tree than my kids got, and they were bigger and they're just wonderful gifts. But these parents who don't know how to live best can still give good gifts to their children. So much more can our godly Heavenly Father give good gifts to us. So let's be encouraged to pray for all these good reasons, but not just for what we can ask and receive from God, but for the intimate relationship. And we know that's the most important thing about prayer. The most important of all is that relationship. We saw Jesus do it with his Heavenly Father so many times. He withdrew to the lonely places or to the side of a mountain or just took off early in the morning to spend time alone with his Heavenly Father because Jesus knew he needed that intimate time with the Lord. He needed God's wisdom. He needed to draw on him for life-giving power and strength and wisdom and guidance and everything he needed. And if this is our Lord, how much more so do we need to pray? He is our perfect example. And there's so many other examples in the scriptures of those who pray, like Paul praying all through the letters for his congregations. Daniel, you know, there was an edict in his day passed that no one could pray to God. They could only pray to the king. And there was no way Daniel was going to stop praying to God. So he continued to pray three times a day. And he had to be thrown into the lion's den as a punishment. But even there, he still prayed. He said, God, shut the, the mouths of the lions, and he was saved. And of course, the king then reversed the edict and said, everyone must pray to Daniel's God because he is Lord of all. So let's be encouraged to pray over this coming month, not just because the bishop thinks it's a good idea, and not just because I'm telling you it's a good idea, but because it's scriptural and it's what our Lord did and it's what our Lord tells us to do. What I've just read to you in Matthew is the Lord's words to his disciples. He's saying, ask, seek, knock, pray. In a chapter before, he just taught them the Lord's Prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. If you don't know how to pray, say, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's be intentional in prayer, just as I was over the last week. I'm going to continue in prayer over this coming month as much as I can, just really, really seeking the Lord, asking. Because I just had this wonderful three-day prayer retreat where I prayed for you all by name. It was the greatest privilege, and thank you for those who sent prayer requests. It was a real privilege to pray for you, for our church. And just God gave me an amazing word as I prayed. He said, the word that came to mind was life-giving. Life-giving. His prayer is life-giving. It's rewarding. His word is life-giving. Our church is to be life-giving. Rivers of life-giving waters need to flow out of us. When people come here and visit, we want them to think this place is life-giving. And that's the word I wanted to share with you today. I also want you to know I've been praying this prayer all week for you. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And so each day this month, I'll be praying for you and a different prayer from Philippians every week. But I just got a few more encouragements to encourage you to pray yourselves over the coming month. So first of all, praying to God helps us grow closer to God. And I'm sure that you all want to grow closer to him. It draws us into intimacy. And that was the best thing I loved about the last week. That's that intimate time with God. It's just so beautiful. Nothing compares. And Psalm 145 said, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So be encouraged to do that and grow closer to him and know more and more of him. Secondly, prayer helps us to align ourselves with the will of God. Just like it says in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer all the time. And as we sit with the Lord and learn more about him and his ways, we can pray more in align with his will and surrender ourselves because we know he is good. As Philippians says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. A third encouragement, prayer shows you that your life is not about you. It's really ultimately about God. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's awesome. And he is at the centre of it all. So it reminds us of that and brings us back into humble submission to him. John 17 says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus prayed that for you. Number four, prayer gives us strength and hope. When everything feels out of control, when everything is overwhelming and we don't even know how to pray, just turning to the Lord will give us strength and hope as we wait upon him. Psalm 73 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Five, praying gives us wisdom and guidance. I love that. I love that if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I'm still waiting for that in all its fulfillment. I seem to be asking this one forever, but it seems to take a long time, bit by bit, I think. Number six, prayers will increase our faith. And they do. As we pray, we wait for the fulfillment of God's promises and his yes and his no. It increases our faith. 1 Corinthians says that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Number seven, prayers bring peace and comfort, do they not? As we keep our eyes on the Lord, he will keep in perfect peace the mind stayed on him. Prayer returns our mind onto Christ where it rightfully should be. As Philippians says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our eighth reason to pray is to seek God's forgiveness and resist temptation. We do find extra strength in our praying. Even just praying the putting the armour of God on in the morning, like praying that, or just praying for strength to resist temptation. But most of all, praying forgiveness and walking in communion with God, walking close to Him, will keep us from stumbling and doing evil. God, you are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Number 9, give thanks to God and praise His name. It's a wonderful privilege that we get to thank God for all His goodness to us. He is good all the time, no matter what's going on in our lives, and we can always give thanks, and it changes our attitude, and it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that we get from prayer. So every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And number 10, the last one, pray to experience God's miracles. You know, God has always been a miracle worker, and He still is today. God is still the same. He hasn't changed. And He wants to bless us, and He wants to do miracles big and small in our lives. And I really hope that over this month that you will experience more of God, come to know how much He cares about you, and ask Him to make a difference in your lives the way that you need Him to, or the lives of others. And I'd love us to share testimonies. So if you have a testimony of answered prayer, a miracle that God has done, something that would encourage others to pray, please come and see me this week, and would love you to share over the coming weeks of these stories. And I know there's some already, so it will be great to have a sharing time each week on God's goodness. You know, God, He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. And so for all these reasons, I can't think of a reason not to pray. I think we should all just go home and do it now, yeah? No, we'll finish the service. Let me pray. God, what a privilege to be able to converse with the King of the universe, the Creator of all things, who made us and loves us and cares for us and wants deep, intimate relationship with every single one of us. Thank you that we can come to you, that we can receive forgiveness for all our failures and misgivings, that you welcome us by the blood of Jesus into your very presence, and we can stand before you and talk to you as Abba, Father, and ask for what we need. Thank you for the reminder to ask and seek and knock and turn to you and trust you as the Sovereign Lord, the Great Provider, our Redeemer. Thank you for all the good things that you have already given to us. And thank you for what you will give in the coming month and beyond. Thank you that we get to walk with you each and every day. May our walks be ever closer to thee. Amen.